Back in October, we had a sermon series on the book of Psalms. And we are returning to it today. And in that first sermon, I said that many Christians know many of the 150 Psalms, but there are a number of verses and a number of Psalms that they don't know. They tend to skip over, and there's probably two reasons for that. The first reason is that some of the Psalms are just so obscure that we can't understand them, and so we change the channel. And some of them are real downers, and so we change the channel. Now, when I started planning this series, I thought, I'm going to pick and choose the Psalms that I would like to talk about the most. And then I thought about it again, and I thought, no, I think instead I should take them as they come and deal with them as they come. Well, today, as we resume, we have reached Psalm number 6. And this one is a real emotional downer. This is one part of me would rather not even talk about. Yes, there is some light at the end of the tunnel on this psalm, but that is a long, dark tunnel to finally get there. Let's just read it first. I reproduced it for you on the back of the bulletin if you would like to follow along, and if you would not, do it anyway. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. No one remembers you when he is dead. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping, and I drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Now here comes just a little bit of light. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. David is the author of this psalm. We do not know what was going on in the life of David at the time that he wrote it, but it is obvious that his body and his mind and his spirit were all in pain. Many of us can identify with that. We've been there. Some of us are there right now. Just listen to some of these descriptions. I am faint, my bones in agony, my soul in anguish. I'm worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. If you have ever felt that low, if you have ever felt that despondent, then you may have also felt that you were all alone. You may have felt that God was not listening to your prayers. You may have felt that your faith was being tested. This life can be miserable sometimes, yes? And the older we get, never mind. But God understands your agony. He understands it intimately. Move with me for just a moment to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is crying out, I am faint. My bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. God understands misery. I probably should have saved this sermon for Lent. This would be a good Lenten sermon. So remember this when Lent gets here. It's not that far away. Maybe I'll just preach it again. If the events in the Garden of Eden had not transpired, then perhaps life would be like Disney World all the time. But that's not the case. There can be agony and anguish and groaning and weeping, and they will all test our faith. There's a contemporary song by Matt Redman. I want you to listen to the words that he wrote. Blessed be your name, the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. That is our challenge. In the desert place, in the wilderness, in the valley of the shadow of death, can you still proclaim, blessed be the name of the Lord? Even when you don't feel like saying it, say it anyway. Say it over and over. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say it until you feel like saying it. When everything in life is going the way you believe it ought to go, prayer is kind of easy. And frankly, during a lot of those times, our prayers can also be rather vague and they can be general. They can just roll out of your mouth and you don't have any idea where they might end up, and they don't come from any depth inside of you. God, thank you for this day and thank you for everything. Really? You can throw out a prayer like that and wonder where it will land. But when you or your loved one is in agony, your prayers are different. They're like an arrow shot to a mark. You tend to get very specific when you pray like that. You color your prayers with urgency. That is the kind of prayer that we read in Psalm 6. It may help you learn how to pray better when it hurts. Here are some thoughts on that. First of all, get in touch with why you feel so despondent. David got in touch with fear. David got in touch with fear when he started with these words, "Oh Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath." David knew that he was a sinner. He was penitent. In fact, this psalm is called the first of seven penitential psalms. The other six, by the way, are Psalms 31, 37, 50, 101, 129, and 142. It was a healthy fear that motivated David's outcry to God. It was a respect for the fact that God does get angry with us sometimes. But note this. We do not know whether God was really angry with David or not when David wrote this psalm. But David felt like God was angry with him. David also had a healthy fear that God can discipline us. God is like a divine traffic cop. You break the law, he stops you, he gives you a ticket, and you hate it, but you know you deserved it. Does your car have little warning lights on it that tell you when something's not working right? My car has too many of those. Aren't they annoying when those lights come on? Sometimes they can be intimidating. What's wrong? Sometimes they can be, you can have distress when those warning lights come on. But you know what? It's stupid to ignore those warning lights. It can even be dangerous to ignore them. Guilt is that way too. David was feeling guilty. You and I feel guilty sometimes too. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. We tell a lie and we get this little nervous feeling inside. We hurt someone's feelings and then we run into them unexpectedly in the supermarket and we get this little nervous feeling inside. Sometimes something needs to be fixed. And we need to get in touch with the underlying reason why we are having those nervous feelings, those annoying warning lights. Have you ever noticed how dogs have a way of looking guilty when they've done something bad? Even if you're really angry with your dog, you just sort of want to go over and just pet him because he just melts your heart. His eyes look so pitiful and he puts his tail down between his legs. And you want him to learn from his mistakes, but you so much want to just tell him, it's okay, I still love you. That is the way that God feels about you. He knows you're guilty. He knows your guilt. He understands your agony. But his love for you does not diminish when you are bad. It increases. When you have a feeling of guilt, you need to do what David did. You need to allow that feeling to drive you to God. You'll not be able to get rid of that feeling of guilt on your own. Only God can do that. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Paul said, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to live life? No regrets. You cannot control the sins of other people, but you can control what you do about your own sins. Submit them to the only one who can erase them. Now, sometimes God's response is to discipline us. Proverbs 3, 11 through 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, as the Father, the Son that he delights in. And God added this in Hebrews 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Amen. And later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. David's outcry in Psalm 6 was, how long, O Lord, how long? Is that your cry? Is that your cry? God's answer could easily be this. I will discipline you until you learn the lesson I want you to learn. That's how long. Our question should not be, when will I get out of this? But what will I get out of this? After David admitted a healthy fear of God in the psalm, he said in verse 2, be merciful to me, Lord. You can ask God for his help. He wants you to ask him for his help. there are so many Christians who fail to fall on their knees in repentance before Almighty God because they want to wear a fig leaf over their sin. The devil tells them that sin is too dirty, that sin is too awful for God to still love you. The devil says, hang on to it because God's not going to help you get out of this one. David, however, in all of the agony of his prayer, made it clear from the very beginning that God is a God of mercy. David asked God for mercy. You should do that too. The second beatitude in the Sermon on the Mount is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Translated, that means blessed are those who are sorry for their sins, for they will be comforted. And the promise is that God will bring comfort through His divine mercy for those who seek Him, regardless of the depth of your agony, brothers and sisters. God is waiting for you to fall on your face before Him so that He can show you His divine mercy. James 2:13. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I loved the way you read that, RB. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, as often happens in the Psalms, the tone of David's prayer suddenly shifts from despair to delight. Verse 8, away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. I'm reminded of Jesus storming into the temple and throwing out the money changers. Matthew 21:13. It is written, he said to them, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of robbers. David was storming against all who were doing evil, and he was saying, I am in God's house of prayer, and He is listening to me. When your soul is in anguish, when your bones are in agony, when you beg God to shorten the season of your suffering, remember, God is listening. To say He is not listening does not make it so. It only shows a lack of your faith. It does not show a lack of His ability. David's testimony should be your testimony. The Lord has heard my weeping. Not just your prayer, your weeping. You know, some things in life are kind of universal. You can wave your hand and say hi to somebody. Doesn't matter what language they speak, they understand what you're doing. You can smile. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It's universal. Everyone understands it. You can cry out in pain, ouch, and everybody understands. It's universal. You can weep, and there's no translator needed. Everyone understands weeping. When you look into the eyes of someone who is suffering deeply, there's no need for an interpreter. David knew that God looked deeply into his eyes and understood his tears. After all, Jesus wept twice. If you engage in real prayer to God, if you engage in effective prayer to God, tears are going to be involved sometimes. Even if you are a male who has been told foolishly that men don't cry, hear this quote from Leonardo da Vinci. Tears are from the heart, not from the brain. Verses 8 and 9. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. You can be a slave to sin, or you can be a slave to the one who can set you free from your sin and accepts your prayer and forgives you. I want to close with a story. I love to close with a story sometimes. I love this story. It was about a little boy named Pete and his sister Sally, and they went to visit their grandparents. The grandparents gave Pete his first slingshot. Pete went out into the woods and he practiced with his slingshot over and over, but he could never hit his target. And he came back into Grandma's backyard and he saw her pet duck. And on impulse, he aimed and he let it fly, and of course it hit the duck square on, and the duck fell dead. Pete panicked. He ran over and he got the duck and he hid it in a wood pile. And just then, to his horror, he looked up and he saw his sister Sally. She had seen the whole thing, but she said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's go wash the dishes." And Sally said, "Well, Pete told me that he wants to help in the kitchen today, don't you, Pete?" And then she leaned over and she whispered to him, "Remember the duck?" And Pete washed the dishes. And later, Grandpa said to both the kids, "Let's go fishing." And Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but Sally needs to help me prepare dinner." And Sally smiled and she said, "That's all taken care of. Pete said he wants to do it." And again, she leaned over and she said, "Remember the duck?" And Pete did not go fishing. This went on for days. Over and over, Sally would whisper, "Remember the duck." Well, Pete could not stand it any longer. So he went to his grandma and he confessed to her that he had killed her pet duck. She gave him a hug and she said, "I know, Pete, I know. I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. And because I love you so much, I forgive you. I just wondered how long you were going to let Sally make a slave out of you." And that is exactly what Satan has done to way too many people. He's got them over a barrel, and they just are too afraid to admit it. Remember the duck. You do not have to live your life in the clutches of the enemy. Turn to God. He's watching. Anyway, he's standing at the window. He knows your guilt already. And he will hear your cry for mercy, and he will accept your prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Be merciful to us, O Lord God. In your great love, Father, cast out our sin. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.